But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some 1864 level bullshit coming out of Arizona. Move on to what Kevin McCarthy is complaining about now, and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, The True Story of How RFK Jr. Literally Became a Spoiler Alert. Let's begin, shall we? It's been 2 weeks since the supreme disaster in Florida ruled that 15 weeks is plenty of time for a woman to figure out how she's going to take care of a child, which prompted a failed presidential candidate and the shortest governor ever to say, hold my white claw, and declare 6 weeks is all a woman needs to get her reproductive shit together. And that stupid idea is currently in effect unless the voters of Florida say otherwise, because the issue of abortion is now on the ballot in November. So then the media turned their attention to Donnie Two Scoops, wondering if he's going to go with that 15-week abortion ban he was mentioning a while back, or perhaps side with the maggots in Congress and go for a full national ban, along with codifying pretending an embryo is a child, otherwise known as fetal personhood, which caused this to happen.
After weeks of months, I should say, not just weeks of sidestepping this issue and not being very clear with where he stands on abortion, Donald Trump released a video statement this morning.
In a 4.5 minute video posted on Truth Social, the former president said he supports IVF treatments. Once again, he said he is proud to have ended Roe v. Wade.
Former President Donald Trump saying he'll leave it up to the states to make decisions on abortion rights if he wins in 2024.
Previously, the former president had discussed the idea of a 15-week federal ban.
Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state.
And there you have it, folks. Give Barbecue Brutus another chance, and he'll make sure as many states can outlaw a woman's right to choose what happens to her own body as they want. Florida's doing it along with 21 other states where access to abortion is either severely restricted or outright prohibited, which explains why Arizona Republican state legislator Andy Kern might have been feeling a little left out. So he invited some of his favorite anti-abortion activists onto the floor of their state house for some speaking in tongues and prayer.
Arizona Republican State Senator Anthony Kern invited an anti-abortion prayer group to the Senate floor. Seen in a video filmed by an anonymous attendee, Kern led the group through a prayer and speaking in tongues as they knelt over the state seal.
Let it be so, let it be so, let it be so.
Lord, right now we just release the presence of the Lord in the Senate chamber. We just release the hovering glory of God Almighty in the Senate chamber.
And you may ask yourself, what in the backwoods Southern Baptist moonshine is going on in Arizona? And I get it. Certain circumstances, it may be okay to lead a prayer in a state house, but what the actual fucking circumstances have to be in place to permit speaking in tongues? Arizona, are you okay? Because with all the Christian nationalism going on down there, the rest of the country is wondering how many mental health days you're going to need to recover from traveling all the way back to the 1800s, because apparently the 1950s wasn't far enough to make America great.
The Arizona Supreme Court just issued a major ruling on the future of abortion access in that state.
Bottom line here is that Arizona must adhere to a
an abortion ban. Nearly all abortions banned except in the case of saving the life of the mother. And this law dates back to the Civil War before Arizona was even a state.
Prospectively enforcing a 159-year-old mandate that is far stricter than the current law that's in place, outright banning abortion at any point by penalty of prison.
And that 1864 law bans anyone from providing abortion services except to save the life of a mother. People found in violation of that law could face a mandatory 2 to 5 years in prison if convicted.
Ah, 1864, when America was great. Of course, Arizona was just a territory back then and wouldn't become a state for another 50 years, but who cares? States, I mean, territories' rights, am I right? At least that's how the Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito put it when he wrote his reasoning for overturning Roe v. Wade.
In the majority opinion, conservative Justice Samuel Alito writes, quote, "The Constitution makes no reference to abortion. No such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision, including the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. That provision has been held to guarantee some rights that are not mentioned in the Constitution, but any such right must be deeply rooted in this nation's history and tradition. The right to abortion does not fall within this category. Until the latter part of the 20th century, such a right was entirely unknown in American law." Basically, according to Samuel Alito and the conservative majority and the logic of Dobbs, the whole holding, abortion and other rights cannot be a constitutional right because it is not found deep in the tradition and history of our nation.
Yeah, sure, that tracks. I mean, who cares that politicians like the ones appointed to run the territory that would become Arizona made abortion illegal back in 1864? Because apparently 160-something years ago isn't far back enough for abortion to be deeply rooted in American history and traditions. Even though back in 1864, America was only 88 years old, never mind. Jester Alito must be referring to history and traditions created by the people who made Arizona what it is today. People like the white Christian pedophile, then President Abraham Lincoln appointed governor of the soon-to-be state of Arizona, thought would be an excellent pick for the first speaker of the territory. A white man named with the whitest name any white man has ever been named.
The man running the territory legislature, the Speaker of the House, a man by the name of William Claude Jones. In the 1850s, Jones won a federal appointment as United States Attorney for New Mexico Territory, then encompassing what is now Arizona, leaving behind his then wife and two children in Missouri. A few years later, Jones' wife obtained a divorce, and he married a Mexican girl. The bride was 12 years old. Jones had abducted her. That marriage to the 12-year-old he abducted lasted just 2 years. Then in 1864, made his way to Arizona, and he was elected Speaker of the House in the brand new Arizona Territorial Legislature. 3 days after the end of the legislative session, he married Caroline E. Stevens after a whirlwind courtship. She was 15 years old. He was approximately 50. Less than 6 months later, he left his child bride for California, followed by Hawaii. In February of 1868, he won election to the Kingdom Hawaii's lower house. A 14-year-old girl named Maymay, reportedly a princess from a noble family, was pregnant with his child at the time of the election. William Claude Jones spent his life wielding his power over women and over girls and their bodies with complete tyrannical domination. And that is exactly the kind of history and tradition that Samuel Alito and the Supreme Court have brought back to the 21st century.
Because when they say make America great again, what they really mean is make America the 1800s again. They long for a time before sliced bread and the knowledge that doctors need to wash their hands before every procedure. When daughters were completely subject to her father and then later her husband. After the sale of her body to her husband's family, affectionately known as a dowry. Then she's expected to pop out as many kids as she can before dying in childbirth or after because of complications. Sounds like a time when medical ignorance collided with patriarchal ambition, which explains the first set of laws 27 white guys came up with to govern the not yet state of Arizona.
Back in 1863, 2 years into the Civil War, Arizona was not yet a U.S. state. That year, Arizona was declared a U.S. territory, and the 27 white male legislators who wrote the rules for this brand new territory had a very specific vision, created a body of laws that discriminated against black people and people of color and made girls as young as 10 available for sex and marriage. And they mandated that any woman who became pregnant by any means must give birth. The brand new legislature also provided that no black or mulatto or Indian, Mongolian or Asiatic shall be permitted to testify in court against any white person. This legislature also declared that all marriages between a white person and a black person shall be absolutely void.
Ah, now it all makes sense. America was great when white Christian men were in charge. And apparently, that wasn't any time before the 1860s, a time when women had no choice but to carry a child to term. And since the mortality rate for mothers back then was one out of 200 births, this was basically a death sentence. And apparently, deeply rooted in American history. So I guess high mother maternity rates are protected under the U.S. Constitution. Thanks, Alito, and the rest of the clowns at the U.S. Supreme Stupidity, because if I didn't know any better, I'd say this was all premeditated. Or as Arizona Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs explains.
Arizona, as you've heard, is facing a near total ban on abortion. Now, this will be the 18th state to severely restrict abortion rights in this country after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. It's like, is this Handmaid's Tale come to life?
This devastating decision that reinstates a ban that was passed in 1864.
How did it come to this? How does this happen in 2024?
When this 15-week ban that was in place before yesterday was passed, the crafters of that legislation anticipated the Dobbs decision. And when Dobbs was decided, it triggered the 1864 ban to be reinstated. They wanted this.
Of course they wanted this. Look, Republicans have been going on a damage control tour ever since Arizona said, hold my tea when it comes to abortion restrictions. But it's not going to work this time. The Arizona Republicans set it up so that if a challenge was set to their 15-week abortion ban and was denied by their state Supreme Court, they would implement this beyond outdated law instead of carrying on with the measly 15 weeks. But they didn't want to stop just there. Because as their governor, Katie Hobbs, called for and Democrats tried to vote on the state House floor on repealing this 1864 law, Republicans blocked them at every turn.
Republican state lawmakers in Arizona blocked efforts by Democrats Wednesday to overturn a near total abortion ban.
The Democratic governor called on state lawmakers to overturn the law, but Republicans Wednesday blocked that effort.
State Republicans choosing not to vote on an effort to repeal the controversial abortion ban yesterday.
That didn't stop Democrats from trying Wednesday. Twice to force a repeal vote.
30 ayes, 29 noes.
And twice, Republicans stopped them.
Met with protests on the House floor.
Hold the vote! Hold the vote! Shame on you!
Yes, shame on them, and a pox on all of their houses, because after Dems were blocked twice, the Republicans did vote on taking a week off. That's right, kiddies. The Republicans in Arizona had a posh lobbyist shindig planned in Kentucky called the Bourbon Trail, where they will spend several glorious days selling their time to lobbyists for $10,000 a pop. Now, it isn't a good look to go on an expensive retreat, so you can line your pockets with special interests, especially after these assholes just fucked every single woman in the state of Arizona. So, to cover up their actual plans, Arizona House Speaker Bob Toma put out a statement saying that he and his colleagues were going to take a week off to think about what they had done. Sounds good, right? Except I just told you about the bait and I don't give a fuck about women's switch, which is actually a money-making scheme. And to that, I wish all of these speaking in tongues, incel mascot, small dick energy, wanna fuck a 10-year-old Andrew Tate wannabes, all the disaster public knowledge of their grifter tendencies will bring them. Oh, and speaking of grifters, Let's circle back to the Big Lebowski for a moment, because he said he would leave it up to the states when it comes to abortion. It's the law of the states, he said. And the facts determine that was a lie. Roll tape.
Roger Severino, vice president of domestic policy at the Heritage Foundation. He used to work for Trump during his first administration, leading anti-abortion efforts in health and human services. Here's what Severino said when the Supreme Court ended abortion access.
The federal government has an absolute role in this. There cannot be now two Americas. One America where unborn life is protected and another where unborn life is treated as the equivalent of medical waste.
Yeah.
Right. That is untenable. This has to be settled nationally. A house divided against itself cannot stand.
Yeah.
We can't have two classes of Americans.
In a lengthy Heritage Foundation proposal that would require renaming HHS the Department of Life, ending access to mifepristone, prohibiting stem cell research, and creating a pro-life task force in the White House, among many other things.
Excuse me, the Department of what? What in the Handmaid's Tale bullshit is going on? How can outlawing mifepristone, stopping all stem cell research, and creating a pro-birth division of the government going to promote life? Because as it stands right the fuck now, states where abortions are restricted have a 62% higher mother mortality rate than states that allow abortion access. And for those of you in the back, that means states where abortion is legal are more conducive to life than states that are under his eye. So the next time someone tries to tell you that abortion restriction is all about protecting the sanctity of life, just remember these bastards care only about one thing: ensuring future workers are born.
And now for something completely different.
Recently, the worst Kevin to ever be Speaker of the House took to a stage with a microphone in hand to, among other things, spill the tea about his last job. And I am here for it. Roll tape.
I'll give you the truth why I'm not Speaker. It's because one person, a member of Congress, wanted me to stop an ethics complaint because he slept with a 17-year-old. An ethics complaint that started before I ever became Speaker, and that's illegal, and I'm not going to get in the middle. Did he do it or not? I don't know. But an ethics is looking at it. And there's other people in jail because of it. And he wanted me to influence it.
Oh, it's good to know that some things never change. Ever the squealer, Kevin let it rip about his beef with the 12-head from Florida, Congressman Matt Gaetz, who has been the subject, not been the subject, but recently is the subject again of an investigation involving underage girls and sex trafficking. So, for exposition purposes, here is the official reason why Kevin McCarthy was ousted after 15 tries of getting him elected to his speakership.
The future of Kevin McCarthy's speakership is in peril after he teamed up with Democrats to avert a government shutdown. Well, this morning, Congressman Matt Gaetz says that he is moving forward with a motion to vacate to try to oust McCarthy as speaker.
I do intend to file a motion to vacate against Speaker McCarthy this week.
He says he's coming for you. Can you survive?
Yes, I'll survive.
But no one will ever forget, because I remember how desperately the maggots clutched to their bandoliers when McCarthy pandered to the Dems to keep the government open after those cockroaches worked extra hard to shut it all down. Too bad we didn't know at the time, collabing with the enemy wasn't the deal breaker the alleged pedophile made it out to be. And the reason we have Mike Johnson is because Kevin wouldn't go and speak to the manager of the FBI because Matt asked him to.
Son of a bitch!
Oh, and while we're on the subject of contemptible scoundrels, did you hear the one about Genghis Khan promoting independent presidential candidates like RFK Jr. in the most oddly specific way? No? Well, here is the commander-in-chief himself explaining the usefulness of RFK Jr.'s campaign.
RFK Jr. is, as you know, the most radical left candidate in the race, more so than even crooked Joe Biden. But he's got some nice things about him. I happen to like him. I guess that would mean that RFK Jr. is going to be taking away votes from crooked Joe Biden, and he should, because he's actually better than Biden. If I were a Democrat, I'd vote for RFK Jr. every single time over Biden, because he's frankly more in line with Democrats. It's great for MAGA. I hope he continues to run. I do believe that RFK Jr. will do very well, and I do believe he's going to take a lot of votes away from crooked Joe Biden.
Damn, Donnie, we get it. You are so stoked over the idea that RFK Jr. would be taking votes away from Biden come November. But all of this got me wondering, why is Eric's dad going on and on about RFK Jr. taking votes away from Biden? I mean, sure, everyone knows that independent candidates are spoilers in a presidential election, but there's got to be something more to this, since the fraud father mentioned not once, not twice, but three times that RFK is going to skew votes from Biden. And that's when someone gave the once and now fired New York staffer for the RFK Jr. presidential campaign, Rita Palmer, a microphone at an event. And she said this in front of a room full of RFK Jr. supporters.
So there's no Biden voters in the House, right? No. Okay, good. The Kennedy voter and the Trump voter, the enemy, our mutual enemy is Biden. See, Bobby, right now, he's pulling from both sides. Right now, he's actually pulling a little bit more from Biden. Bobby's moving the blues on his own. If the Republicans has accepted the fact most of the Northeast is going to go blue, why wouldn't we put our vote to Bobby and at least get rid of Biden and get those 28 electoral votes in New York? Give those 28 electoral votes to Bobby rather than to Biden, thereby reducing Biden's 270. And we all know how that works, right? 270 wins the election. If nobody gets to 270, then Congress picks the president. So who are they going to pick if it's a Republican Congress? They'll pick Trump. So we're rid of Biden either way.
Ah, now I understand why Rita got a pink slip. I mean, she just said the same thing about using RFK Jr. to dilute Biden's count in November that Grandpa Tangerine said in his address to the poorly educated. And isn't that something? I mean, if I didn't know any better, I would say that something pretty sussy is going on between these two campaigns. And it turns out I do know better, and there is something way sussier than you could possibly imagine going on between RFK Jr. and Mar-a-Lago's campaigns.
According to the New York Times, allies of Donald J. Trump plan to promote Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as a champion for choice to give voters for whom abortion is a top issue and who also don't like Mr. Biden another option on the ballot.
If you are a left-wing voter, Kennedy, frankly, gives you all the nutty Biden, Bernie Sanders, Green New Deal, climate alarmist, religious cult policies, maybe without the corruption and sleaze and the chaos, and he definitely knows what day of the week it is.
Over the course of this campaign, Kennedy has really aligned himself with the right.
Anybody who tells you that they're going to be able to reduce gun violence through gun control at this point, I don't think is being realistic.
You talk about the Palestinian people are arguably the most pampered people by international aid organizations in the history of the world.
Dr. Fauci, he destroyed our schools, our churches, our businesses, and our economy.
Trump's allies are willing to do whatever they must in order to get Democrats to jump ship for Kennedy. As the New York Times notes, the Trump team's view is simple and is backed by public and private polling. The more candidates in the race, the better for Mr. Trump.
Because why rely on just regurgitating the lie that the 2020 election was stolen when you and the spoiler candidate can combine your fraud twin powers to make sure the oaf gets back into office? I mean, these two are literally a cliche, but who cares when the outcome is the same? Less votes for Biden. And sure, there are reasons to be upset with Biden, like not codifying Roe into law before the Supreme Justice destroyed it. And then there's the whole arming Israel while they're using that weaponry to wipe out as many Palestinians off the planet as they can before someone actually stops them. But if you believe RFK Jr. is the answer to all of your grievances, or a vote for the independent is really going to show Joe what you think of him and his policies, I've got a little piece of advice for you. Your high school D average is showing. It's not cool to be poorly educated, no matter how many idiots in Georgia's 3rd district keep voting the Marge Goblin back into office. Trust me, you're not sticking it to the Dems by voting for RFK Jr. It's more like you're the 8-year-old smirking on the street corner while the childhood home burns to the ground behind them. Because at the end of the day,
this is some bullshit.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. But if that's not enough for you, catch me once a week on Facepalm America with host Beowulf Rockland, where we make fun of the news in real time on a recorded podcast. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us, and we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show, and to Dirt for now.